Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour, a weekly broadcast with one goal in mind, to bring people into a closer walk with God. For more than 30 years now, the Christian Worship Hour has proclaimed the good news of the gospel to those who are lost and provide hope and encouragement to Christians all across America and around the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And here it is, a week has rolled by. Last week we had such a wonderful time with Easter Sunday. And now we're going to be thinking about the risen Christ and some of the instructions he gives us and some of the things that he's asking us to do. And so we just rejoice that we can have a wonderful Savior and walk with him all the way until we get to glory. And won't that be something then? So we're looking at Psalm 147 today, where the psalmist writes, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth down the wicked. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise unto the harp unto our God." And that's what we're doing today in our service today, dear Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we're praising you. We're praising you the best way we know how. We're praising you in spirit and in truth. And all over the world now, we're all gathering together around your throne, meeting at your feet to worship Jesus and to draw strength and guidance and direction. And so we finish our courses on this earth, and then we'll all be together in glory with you. So we look forward to that day. So bless us in this service, dear Lord, and use it to honor Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. And Jan is going to sing a beautiful song today entitled, "How I Trust Him." And God bless you, Jan.
Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more.
Thank you, Jan. God bless you. And that's our wonderful God. That's what we're going to talk about today. We need to trust Him more, lean more on Him. And so this message we're going to have is just going to encourage us all to lean on Jesus and trust Him more and more. Well, I want to thank you for the letters. We get so many nice letters. We read every one. And we love to share all of them with you, but we just can't. So we pick out some to share with you. And I hope more of you write. And when you write, maybe you want to send a gift to help us in the work. And we'll just go on our way rejoicing. By the way, we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 6 today. So if you want to locate that. But our first letter is from Rapid City, South Dakota. And this person writes, "Preaching the word was part of the influence to bring my wife and I to dedicate our lives to the Lord." Now, that's what Jesus does for a marriage. It brings you together. And I'm going to tell you something. The closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get together. The devil will try to split a couple up and drive them in different directions. But Jesus is like a magnet, and He draws us together. And the closer we get to Jesus, the closer we are together. And then when we're in Jesus, a marriage is perfect. And so that's what happened with this couple, and don't we rejoice in that. Here is Abaco, Bahamas. "I'm sorry I've not written to you for a long time, but this past year I've had two back surgeries and had to take it easy, but I still been watching the program, and I think you're getting along great with your age presenting the gospel. Received your Christmas card with the pictures and all the staff. Thank you so very much, because without them, we'd not hear the old-time gospel that you preach also, and I enjoy the old-time singing too. The Lord bless you." And here's a dear brother in the Bahamas, and he's exactly right. If we didn't have a team working together, we wouldn't get to first base. We'd never get it done. And you know something else? You're a part of that team. The men that took care of the technicalities here, our musicians and all of the rest, and with my preaching, we're all part of the team. And we have a staff of five lovely ladies in the office, and they do the letters and the receipting and all. That's part of the team. But you're part of the team, an important part, through your prayers and by telling other people and through your gifts. So that's what it is. It's a team effort. God uses all of us together by His Spirit. He binds us together by His Spirit and proclaims the gospel through all the earth. Isn't that beautiful? Here's one from Hyde Park, New York. "Your show is a blessing to me every Saturday afternoon and evening. I love your sisters and brothers for the music they do. God bless you and your lovely staff of brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus' love." And so here's a nice one, a nice letter, and talking about that very same thing. All of us working together to the glory of God. That's the body of Christ. One does one thing, another does another thing, but we put it all together, and there's a strong body carrying the gospel through all the earth. Here's Virginia, Minnesota. "I feel so bad about not having any money to send. I've had a lot of medical problems, and Medicare refuses to pay some even though needed. I've been in a wheelchair 2 years. I pray and watch you every Sunday. And so to you in Virginia, Minnesota, you know, if you pray for us, that's worth more than money. If you just pray, the money will come. There's plenty of money, and God will lay it on the hearts of the people. And so don't apologize because if you don't have anything, I know some of you are destitute. I know we went in the Depression and we couldn't buy a stamp for 3 cents. We didn't have anything. We just didn't have a thing. But you could pray. And we lost our farm, but we didn't lose our Savior. And so you pray here, this dear lady. We hear from a good number. We hear of a lot of prisoners too. And they don't have a lot of money to throw around, but they can pray and they can witness. Oh, sure, God will use you in a wonderful way. Here's Spearfish, South Dakota. I'm 93 and was a British Royal Air Force World War II fighter pilot. I doubt anyone now can comprehend aerial fighting on to the death. It must be a terrible thing, really, for those service people. After the war, I moved here to undertake some studies. I got married and I stayed. During my working life here, after being a pastor for 2 churches, I moved to the electronic engineering side of businesses, working for only 3 companies where I become an innovator for each. So here's a gentleman from the Royal Air Force in America, and knowing the Lord, loving the Lord. God has his people all over the world. Doesn't matter where you're at. He has his people. Here's Wasilla, Alaska. Oh, listen to this one. We just came through a 7.1 magnitude earthquake a few days ago, but damage was slight. It woke me up. My 42-year-old RV trailer, 42-year-old RV trailer just shook but held together. Praise God. At first, I thought I might see the Lord in person that day. But soon it was over. Praise God again. This old guy is still here to serve our wonderful Lord. God bless you and keep you all. Much love. Well, isn't that a great letter? He's in his little old house there, and that thing is a jumping and a cooking and a going, and he's right in the middle of it. But he's not alone. You know, Daniel was in the lion's den. God was with him. The 3 Hebrew children in the furnace, God was with them. And he's with this dear brother up in Wasilla, Alaska. God bless you. Here's Rapid City, South Dakota. I like this one. Enclosed the money I did not spend on the Powerball tickets when the jackpot was into the billions of dollars. May God bless you and the staff. And God bless you. Don't buy those tickets. Don't gamble. It's not right. It isn't in God's sight. Gambling is a sin because you're trying to get something for nothing. You're trying to get something off of people. And so we ought to produce instead of trying to weasel somebody out of something. Leave that lottery alone. And so then, and I don't need to preach to him. He's already doing it. So what am I doing here? Here's one more. Havana, Cuba. I'm 71. I've been listening to the Christian Worship Hour since early this year on shortwave radio. I found your teaching very interesting and inspiring, especially those ideas concerning the personal relationship with our Lord Jesus. If possible, I'd like to receive any printed material on the issue. Other tracts would be welcome too. So he's hitting it on the nail on the head. It's got to be that you just don't know about Jesus, but you have to know him personally. And you get to know him personally when you ask him into your life. He says, I stand at the door and knock, but he won't come into your heart unless you ask him in. He's not an intruder. He's not a trespasser. And maybe right now you have a little feeling and say, I should have Jesus in my life. I believe he's knocking at my door right now. And you maybe not hear a lot of banging, but you just have that feeling, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. And then if you do that, you say, Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And dear Jesus, I'll follow you the best I can. And I thank you for saving me. And then you tell your friends, That's all it is. I was 10 years old and I prayed that prayer, and I was 85 years ago, and it is plain as day. And so you just pray, ask Jesus. And maybe you say, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to end the prayer. I had one man pray to accept Jesus, and at the end he says, goodbye. Fine. Goodbye. What? That's okay. God knows what you mean. So we hope that you'll accept the Lord. And many of you will. And then if some of you write, if you write to us, you accept the Lord, we'll send you literature. Now, this man, we've sent a literature already, and it'll help him how to get started in the Christian life, and it'll tell us some of the promises of God. And we're just glad to do that. So will you write? We'll let you know. And then we want to encourage you to write and to help us with this work. And I know that God is telling some of you to help us, and you should just ask God now. So we need to help these people. I believe in preaching the gospel. I believe this is what God wants me to do. And so then you write to us, and you write to us a Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send us a gift on the internet, you can do that, christianworshiphour.com. And there's what we call PayPal. And we get money from all over different parts of the world from people who send gifts. And so you can just help us that way. And so if you think that this is something of the Lord, then you need to support it by prayers and with your gifts. I also want to tell you about a little paper that we put out every month. It's called The New Song. And this month of April, our Bible study is about what I prayed for you. Your pastor prays for you. What does your pastor pray when he prays for you? And it's a nice little Bible study. You'll understand the pastor better, and then it'll help you to pray better. And so you just ask for the new song. And one other thing I want to mention, if you have any doubt about going to heaven, if you have any doubt about your salvation, we have a beautiful little booklet called The Crick and Can a Christian Lose His Salvation or Her Salvation? And we will send that free and postpaid. You can send a gift if you can, but if you don't have any money, like people in prison and so forth, we'll send it free and postpaid. But if you can send a donation, that'd be fine. You send it to us, so we got it on there. And though on shortwave, I'll give you it again, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now we're going to pray, and Jan's going to play, and then you give as God lays on your heart. And I want to mention quickly, we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and so every penny that we get is accounted for, and they watch us, and they check our books, and so you can know that your money's going to go where you want it to go, and that's preaching the gospel, sending out the gospel. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who help in this work by prayer, by their goodwill, by telling others, and by sending gifts. Just pray you'll bless everyone. And we pray, Lord, that through this ministry, many will come to know you as Savior. And many Christian people who are struggling and hurting and aching and wondering will find comfort and strength and encouragement. Dear Jesus, we love you and we love these people. We love all who need you, and we all need you. So bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jan. His eye is on the sparrow. And that wonderful God knows all about us. And you know, in the psalmist, it says that he gives the stars names. He calls them by name. You can't comprehend that. You know why? Because he's God and we're not God. But how can he know the names of all the stars when the stars are like the sand of the sea? That's our God, our wonderful God. Well, Jesus talks about trusting him in Matthew chapter 6. And we want to start with the 25th verse. Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." We're going to pray, and in our prayer, we're going to pray for South Korea today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being such a great God, and thank you for this passage where you assure us that you're going to take care of us. And, oh God, we just pray that we'll lean upon you and not doubt. Never, oh, help us never to question you. We may not understand everything that's happening and everything's taking place, but yet we can know that you are God, you are sovereign, you know all things, and you work all things out that so that they work together for good to those who love the Lord. And so we love you, Jesus. Help us to love you more and trust you more. And in our prayer today, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in South Korea. And they're going through some hard times now, Lord, all over the world. Your people are suffering. Oh, how it must grieve the heart, your heart, oh God, to see your people hurting like that. And how it must grieve the Lord Jesus, because it's his body that they're tormenting in this earth. It's the body of Christ, and he's touched by our infirmities. And so, oh, he must agonize when he sees how the devil works through people and mistreated your people. And so we pray for the people, especially our brothers and sisters in South Korea for the day. So all over the world, we're praying for South Korea, and that they'll be encouraged and they'll be strong. They'll stand true to the end, and that, oh God, you use them to your honor and your glory. And someday when the work is all done and time is no more and your son comes, and there we'll put an end to all of these things and we'll be in glory with you forever. And won't that be something? We're anxious for that day and that hour. So we love you, dear Lord. We trust you with all our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And Hank is singing for us. He's got a song. It's a song, "How Big Is God?" God bless you, Hank.
How big is God? How big is God?
Though man may strive to go beyond the reef of space, to crawl beyond the distant glimmering stars, this world's a room so small within my master's house. The open sky but a portion of his yard. How big is God? How big and wide his vast domain? to try to tell. These lips can only start. He's big enough to rule his mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. How big is God? How big and wide his vast domain? To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule his mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. Yet small enough to live within my heart. How big is God?
Well, thank you, Hank. That's exactly what we're talking about. This wonderful God, we limit him so many times, we make him smaller. You can't imagine the greatness of God. And so Jesus, in this passage we just read in Matthew chapter 6, he's dealing with the matter of Christians worrying. And he's telling us he knows all about us before we ever enter this world. Before we ever took a breath, he knew all about us. And he had us for a purpose. And he knew that there would be a tendency to worry. And so he talks to us in these verses. And he talks to the people of his day and our day and every day of the Christendom. And that is it. We need to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him. So he talks about it. And he talks about the treasures that people have. And how the tendency is to stack up treasures on earth. And then he says, but now Jesus talks about it. And I think he had a kind of a twinkling in his eye when he talked about it. And he says, okay, now you want to have to store up things on this earth. Well, he says, first of all, there's the moth can come and spoil your treasures. And that is because in those days they had linens and silks and tapestries. And they were very expensive and very precious and beautiful, of course. And so Jesus says, if you want to put that's your treasures, if that's where your heart is, well, let me tell you a little story. He says, moth, M-O-T-H, these little things that chew holes. They live on nothing because they eat holes. See, and they're going to take that tapestry, that beautiful tapestry, they're going to put holes in it. That's all that amounts to. And then he says, but oh, maybe you want something like silver and gold and coins and everything else and like that, because they can put that away and we'll keep that. And so then he'll get our silver, our gold, and our coins and all. And Jesus has four-letter word for that. He says, rust, R-U-S-T. And that'll chew it all to pieces. And moths can't chew it, but rust can chew it. And that can pretty soon all your money's going to turn to nothing. And won't that be a nice day for you? And then he says, besides all that, there are thieves. And they can break through and steal. And they can take in a moment's time. You can lose everything you have in this world. Can be taken away. And so Jesus warned. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if anybody loves the world, the love of the Lord isn't in him. You can't have God and mammon. You can't love God and the world. I used to have a woman in prayer meeting. She always says, well, I walked several years with God in one hand and the devil in the other hand, the world in the other hand. I said, oh, sister, you didn't have a hold of Jesus. That's for dead sure. Because he has no fellowship with darkness. And you have Jesus or you have the devil. You have good or you have evil. You have heaven or you have hell. And that's all there is to it. There's no middle ground. And so Jesus is saying, this wonderful treasure, he says, put your treasure where it will last for all eternity. And then Jesus starts to goes out and he talks about the matter of worry. And he knew people would say, well, Are we not to provide for our families? And shouldn't we put something a little for retirement so they can get along? Don't we have something to keep our bodies together? And then Jesus answers these questions. He answers in a very beautiful way. He says, first of all, concerning the riches, don't ever worry about riches. This is what he said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you'll eat or what you should drink in your body. Now, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Four times Jesus says, take no thought. He says, take no thought about life. Take no thought about food. Take no thought about clothing. Take no thought about tomorrow. Don't be worrying. Take no thought. Don't be over anxious. Don't be over careful about these things. We are told in the scriptures that we should provide for our family. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, it says, if any man provide not for his own, and especially for his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so we are to provide for our family. But what Jesus is saying in the midst of it all, you have to trust God in this. You have to work and you have to be frugal and you have to do all the rest of it. But you have to lean on the Lord Jesus and not worry. But when the provision comes, the wearing, and then we start to worry about how we're going to do it and how we're going to take care of it. It's a kind of a corroding thing. It's self-tormenting. The people work on Sunday. They cheat on their income tax. They do everything they can to get that money. And Jesus is saying this kind of a thing is wrong for the Christian. And then worry becomes a sinful thing because God frowns upon us. Our health is harmed by it. You can have a heart attack worrying over things. And then what do you have? Our priorities are wrong when we put too much worry on money and wealth. So Jesus gives us 6 reasons why we shouldn't worry. And the first one he says is, we shouldn't worry because God is in charge. God is in charge of all things. And if God is in charge of the moon, cold and dead and way out in space, if he's in charge of that moon, holding it in place and keeping it in place, well, don't you think that he would take care of his creation? The highest of his creation is man, is humanity. And if he takes care of that cold, dark, black moon, won't he take care of the living people made in the image of God? So he said that we realize that God is in charge. And so when we worry, we sin against God. We often call worry, we don't call it worry. We say it's concern, or it's a burden, or we have a cross to bear. But it's just plain not trusting God. He said we should take care of our needs, but if we really trust him, then we'll lean upon him to help us. You see, worry bothers us. It hurts us. The Greek word translated take no thought really means to be drawn in different directions. In other words, worry pulls us apart. And we don't enjoy life and we're not a good witness. And we don't do things for the Lord and we're not serving the Lord as we should. Because we're pulled apart by this worry and this fretting and this fussing all the time. So we have to be very careful that we watch how we just trust God, lean on God. And sometimes we don't understand how God works. And I don't know if it was last week or not, I was talking about people who say, oh, it's all right to question God. You can ask him, God, why did you do this? In my book, you can't. He is God, and we trust him. And we don't doubt him. And we may not understand it all, but we can lean on Jesus. I read the story of Dwight L. Moody, and a man came to him one time, and there was a difficult passage of Scripture. Now, there are some verses in the Bible that are hard to understand, and some I don't guess we'll understand until we meet the Lord. We just trust him, see? And so he had one of these hard sayings, and he says, Mr. Moody, he gave him that passage, he says, Mr. Moody, how do you explain that? And Moody says, well, I don't explain it. Well, he says, how do you interpret it? He says, I don't interpret it. He says, well, how do you understand it? He says, I don't understand it. He says, well, what do you do with it then? And Moody says, I don't do anything with it then. You don't believe it then, the man says. The skeptic says, you don't believe it. Oh, yes, I believe it. I believe many things I don't understand. In John 3, Moody says, Jesus reminded Nicodemus that it was unable to grasp earthly things because he couldn't. How could he grasp heavenly things when he couldn't understand earthly things? It's impossible for us to understand the mind of God. We are not God. We are finite. He's infinite. We are like a worm on the street. And he's like a great, great giant of God, this God. We can't understand his mind. If we could, we would be God. And what are we told in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29? He says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. And so he is saying, God is in charge. And there's some things he explains to us and some things he doesn't explain to us. And he doesn't explain to them us because we don't need to know. You don't need to know everything. You just have to trust God. That's what Moody's saying. I don't understand these things and I don't explain them at all, but I trust God. And then Jesus says worry is useless. He says in the 6th chapter, in the 27th verse, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? This could be translated, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? How are you going to do anything to help your life or to get along in life? Or if you want to say cubit, cubit is about 18 inches. And so then we say, well, how can you add 18 inches to your height? Well, you can get elevator shoes, you know, to a point. But after a while, it gets to look ridiculous. You can't do it. We can't add 18 inches to our body, and we can't add 1 hour to our life. So God is telling us it's a useless thing to worry about it because you can't change it anyway. And so God is telling us our entire life is in God's hands. And all the care in the world, it won't prolong it 10 minutes longer, 10 seconds longer, 1 second longer. In other words, we're going to have to, there's a time for us to die. And God is going to take that. And so when we come for our time to die, we're going to go. And I don't know when it is, and you don't know when yours is. And that's a blessing that we don't. But to worry about it, when I'm going to die, or how I'm going to die, or if I'm going to have Alzheimer's, is a waste of time because I can't do anything about it, see? And that's what God is telling us. He says, it's useless to worry because you can't change anything. You just to love the Lord and move along with him. And maybe you get to be in old age, and they'll say, oh, my goodness, what's he doing running around 95 years old? Well, only 94. I'm young yet. 95. If I live till June, I'll be 95, but I don't know, see? And so they said, well, what he's doing running around? Why doesn't he make room for somebody else? You know, in America, you know, some of the Hebrews, they were taught in Leviticus 19, verse 32, the Hebrews were told to rise in the presence of the aged to show respect for the elderly. They were taught that. Japan, they respect the elderly. America, get out of my way, Buster. We're moving and we're going. And so you say, well, oh, I don't know. I'm about my old age. I don't know if I'm any good anymore. And maybe I should get out of the way. Well, this is what God tells us in Psalm 92. He says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. And look at here. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. And so this is what we're to be doing. We'll be talking about the Lord. We're to be witnessing for the Lord. God is telling us, you are important to me. And I don't care what your age is. You are important to God. And you are here because God has put you here. And he puts you here for a reason and a purpose. And that is to witness for him. Maybe you can't get out and get around anymore. Maybe you're in a wheelchair. Maybe you're bedridden. But you can talk to others about the Lord and tell them what Jesus means to you and give Him praise and thanks and ask Him about talking about what Jesus means to you and how you accepted Him and how you urge them to do it. Witness for Him wherever you are. Society tells us to the old people, get out of our way. Get out of our way. You've done your work. But God says you work until you're done. Keep bearing fruit till I take you home. And so don't worry about adding years to your life. And don't worry about getting old. Labor on. Worry not. Lean on Jesus. Sing for Him. And the third thing Jesus says, the birds don't worry. They toil not, neither do they spin. The Living Bible says, look at the birds. They don't worry about what to eat. They don't need to sow or reap or store up food. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. You're far more valuable to Him than they are. That is, they literally live from day to day. And then they use the instinct God has put with them. And they find a worm or they find a bug or they find something. And God always provides for them. The little birds teach us something. And they teach us that they don't worry and fret and fly. They just love the Lord. They just do what God has given them to do. He's put them in His scheme of things when He created the animals. He didn't make them on the level of a human being because we're made in the image of God, where the animals aren't. So they're a step lower than we are. And yet they work in harmony and they work together in the world. And so I know some people say, what about these people that are dying for hunger? What about these children in some of these countries that don't have enough to eat? Did God provide for them? My answer to you is yes. He did provide for them. And lousy, wicked, evil men kept the food away from them. I'm going to tell you something. Don't you come to me and talk to me and tell me that God doesn't care for the little children because they suffer. They suffer because of wicked people. There's enough in the world to feed all the people of the world easily. But they're selfish and they keep it to themselves or they won't let them distribute it or take it out. So don't blame God for those things. It's with the evilness of man, and God have mercy on the people that starve the children. I wouldn't want to stand in their shoes for anything in all of the world. What does he say? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And that's exactly what it is. God hates sin, and He's going to deal with sin. He loves the sinner, and He'll forgive you no matter what your sin is. And if you come to Him, He'll wash it, and He'll take it away and make it as white as snow. But if you reject Him, that love is going to end when you die. When you come to that grave, when they have your funeral, there's no more love of God, only the wrath of God. And you better come. You ought to come. That's why the Christian Worship Hour, we pound that over and over and over. You have to accept Jesus Christ. I had a letter from somebody just not long ago, and they said, I'm trying to be as good as I can, but I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven anyway. And this poor dear lady, and she was in her 90s. And I've written to her and told her, listen, sister, you're never saved by works. It's by simple faith in Jesus. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth, to him it is counted for righteousness. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Just believe what God said. And so that's what you do. God says, I'm standing at your heart, and I want to come into your life. And if you ask me in, I'll come in, and I'll take away your sins, and I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you won't need to worry because you belong to me. You're my child, and I'll have none of my children in hell. My children are safe at home in Jesus' love. But you have to do it now. You can't wait. You say, I know what you're thinking. You say, well, I'm going to wait till next week. And next week when he gives the invitation, I'm going to give it. Well, I may not be here next week, and you may not be here next week. And you may have brick may fall on your head next week, and you won't even know who you are. You have to do it now. You know why you want to put it off? Well, that's not you thinking. That's a devil's thinking. I'm going to tell you something. The devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He'll tell you, put it off. Put it off. Don't do it now. Don't do it now. See, does same result. You don't have Jesus. You pray right now for Jesus to come into your life, take away your sin. And that's what God says. I'm going to provide for you. I provide for the birds, so don't worry. I'll take care. Well, you may not have a big steak three times a day, but you'll have bread and water, and we can live on bread and water. But God gives us a lot more than that as a rule. And then he goes on in the fourth thing, and he says, we shouldn't worry because he says, see the flowers and the grass. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he much more clothe you of little faith? Jesus says, look at those flowers. They're beyond description. See how lavishly God has made those flowers. You stand in amazement. And yet, like the grass, in the morning it flourishes, and in the evening it's cut down, and then it's all shriveled and it's gone, and the wind comes and blows it away. And yet, God, if it is so much like that, that is so fragile and so weak and so kind of can't withstand anything, if God clothes them with beautiful beauty, well, won't you think he'll take care of you and put some clothes on your back? And in America here, well, just a sad thing, it isn't putting them on their back, it's getting them dressed the way some of them dress and carry on and live. Shame on them. But God is saying, I'm taking care of the flowers of the field. I'm taking care of the grass. I'm going to take care of you. You're the vault of creation. You're the man and woman. You're the highest of creation. You're next to God. You have the image of God. And so don't you think I'll take care of you? Of course I will. Stop your worrying. And then the fifth thing he says we should not worry because worry insults God. In verses 31 and 32, he says, Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? After all these things to the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Gentiles mean heathens. That's pagans, those who don't know God. And they're called pagans because they're not born again. And so you don't have to be somewhere in some foreign country or some offware. Just you don't believe in God. If you don't believe in Jesus, you don't have Jesus, you're a pagan. Now, Jesus says that if they don't know God, then they worry. But if they know God, they won't worry. See? The pagan, what does he do? He doesn't know God. He doesn't know Jesus. So he earns all he can get. He has all the good times now. That's what they do in their old beer commercials and things. They say, you live once, drink it up now. And drink it up till you lose your soul. My dear God, what's going on? And so what we have to do is just don't think about ourselves, but think about God. The Christians are on a different page. They're the children of God. And when we worry, we send a message then to God that we're no more secure than the pagan. The pagan, he's worrying and we're worrying. And so why? Here we are, the child of God. And why aren't we worrying? Why are we worrying? Because we don't trust him. It's not because God won't let us. He's dealt to every man a measure of faith. And you can believe if you want to. And you can love if you want to. You say you can't legislate love, but God says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's legislation. And you can love God, and you make up your mind to do it, and you can do it, and you can love all your enemies and all of the rest of them. It isn't easy, but it can be done by the grace of God and the help of God. And so when we in worry, we insult God. And then the final thing, the final one is in verse 33. He says, because God has promised to provide us. Don't worry, because God has promised to provide us. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what does he say? And all these things shall be added unto you. Things, what things? Clothing, food, and all the rest that we have. He says, I'm promising to provide it. And you say, oh, I am not so sure about that. And I worry a little bit about that. I don't know if God's really going to do that or not. See, it's an insult to God. It's like as if I gave my son, I told him, I put $1,000 in your account today. You can get whatever you want with $1,000. And then he said, well, Dad, could I see the receipt? You see? That's what we're saying to God. You say you're going to do this, but God, can I see the receipt? I need a little more than your word. It's an insult. So what did he tell us to do? He says to seek first the kingdom of God. That is to put God first in our life, to put our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, to put all of our plans, all of our purposes, all of our priorities, everything we do, to seek the first the kingdom of God, that wonderful kingdom that is in our heart. That's what it is. When we accept Jesus Christ, we're part of that kingdom. And he's telling us, seek that, to make it a priority. And he says, seek the kingdom of God. Seek Jesus. Seek Christ. Follow Christ. And if we do that, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ will help us. And he'll give us a way. He'll help us along the road. I read a man who about his name was Taller. And one day he met a beggar. He was a 14th century German mystic. He better met a beggar. And he said to the beggar, God give you a good day, my friend. And the beggar said, I thank God he has never given me a bad day. And so then Toller says, God gave you a happy life, my friend. And the beggar says, I've never been unhappy in my life. And then amazement, Toller asked, well, what do you mean? Well, the beggar says, when it is fine, I thank God. When it rains, I thank God. When I have plenty, I thank God. When I have nothing, I thank God. And since it's God's will is my will, and well, whatever pleases him pleases me, so I'm happy all the time. Toller looked at the man in astonishment, and he says, well, what in the world? He says, who are you? And the beggar says, I'm a king. And he says, where's your kingdom? And the man says, in my heart. That's where our kingdom is, isn't it? And that's why we're happy. And that's why we're trusting. And that's why we don't worry. And that's why we serve Jesus. And we tell others, you need to know Jesus too. You need to have that kingdom. You have to have that Savior in your heart. And he's never going to ever be there until you ask him to come in. And then you put that kingdom in your heart. And it takes first place over everything else. And I put it first. And when you do that, worry will go away. And we'll love Jesus and trust Jesus. And so that has to be. Somebody put it like this. Oh, blissful lack of wisdom, 'tis blessed not to know. He holds me with his own right hand. He'll not let me go. And lulls me with my troubled soul to rest in him who loves me so. So on I go not knowing. I would not if I might. I'd rather walk in the dark with God than go alone in the light. I'd rather walk by faith with him than go alone by sight. You need Jesus. And we're praying on the Christian Worship Hour. That's our main goal. We have three things in goal in our Christian Worship Hour: to honor God, to glorify God, to bring sinners to Jesus, and to comfort God's people. That's our goal. And so we're praying today that you'll receive Jesus. That's the main thing. And then we'll write to you and we'll give you some scriptures. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send you literature to get you started in the Christian life. If you have some other Christians, other question, we'll try to answer it for you the best we can. And to those of you on beds of sickness and those of you who are shut-ins, just remember this, that the wonderful Lord knows all about your situation. And you can shine for him like a beautiful diamond. You can shine for him. You can sing for him like a beautiful bird in a cage. And you're in a cage and you can't get out, but you can sing. The whole world can hear you singing. Oh, it's wonderful to walk with Jesus. It's the only way to go. And now we're going to pray. Dear Jesus, bless these people that have troubles. Lost a loved one. Children have gone wrong. Children in trouble. Lost their job. Have bills they can't pay. The devil afflicts them every way. Oh God, be their portion. Help them to lean on you and trust in you. And I know, Lord, I know you'll help them through the hardest times of life. But help us not to worry and to fret, but just to love Jesus. beautiful, beautiful Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. And so we're going to be thinking about all of you. We're going to be praying for you this week. You pray for us. And someday we'll all get together in heaven. Won't that be a great day? But until then, we got work to do. You've got somebody that you can witness to, that somebody's hurting. You can help them. Maybe you drifted away from the Lord. You can come back to the Lord. You can go do something to help a neighbor, do some good, and always give glory to Jesus. And above all things, don't fret and don't worry. Just lean on Him, just like if you're on a little canoe. A tide's coming in and there's no paddle, nothing. And you just have to lay in that canoe and the tide comes in, it's 10 feet deep, but you're safe. It lifts you up in the tide. So we just lay on Jesus, lean on Jesus, underneath of the everlasting arms, the wonderful, wonderful Jesus who said He'd never leave us, never let us down, never forsake us. God bless you. God loves you. We love you. See you next week, Lord willing.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, a weekly broadcast that provides strength for daily living found in the good news of the gospel. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. If it has, then write to us and let us know at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Be sure to join Dr. Salem again next week at this same time for the Christian Worship Hour.